All right. Chapter 4. Selected Messages, Volume 2, or Volume 3, rather, page 29. And it's titled The Primacy of the Word. And it starts off with the first subheading says, Relation of E.G. White Writings to the Bible Recognized in First Book, whatever that means. And it says, I recommended to you, dear reader, the Word of God as the rule of faith and practice. By that word, we are to be judged. And that's something that those people, because there's a lot of people out there that do this. And, oh, by the way, Brother Craig, did you get my email in regards to that so-called apology? Don't trust it. But anyway, there's something going on. Okay, you got it? Okay, good. Yeah, so. We are to be. Yeah, I know it wasn't either. Yeah, I agree. But the fact that we're judged by the word that is written, and because Sister White is mostly a commentator. I mean, she's a prophet. We understand that. That's a no-brainer. But she's saying here that it's by the word of God that we're going to be judged, because that's what she bases all her, you know, messages on anyway, which is obvious. But there's many... many people in the world, especially the people that have a tendency to attack us, they'll even admit so far as to not read Bibles, but they'll read Ellen White and only Ellen White. And that's a problem. And I'm not saying it's because she's not inspired, but because she is inspired, but she doesn't touch on the whole Bible. She doesn't. And she admits it. She even, like she says here, yeah, the Bible is your rule of faith and practices. That's where you should be. She even states somewhere else in her writings that if we were to study the Bible properly, we wouldn't even need her writings. And case in point, I found out about the Sabbath and the real mark of the beast and everything like that just by reading the Bible. I mean, it took me 10 years to unlearn Catholicism to get to the point where I could clearly see what I was reading. And I had to get away from my family first, of course, because 6 months after we moved away from the Chicago area is when it really started coming in. I started understanding things. Like, just like Abraham, get thee away from thy brethren. And no, I'm not comparing myself to Abraham, okay? I'm just saying, the same theology that, or the same blessings that he received, we can receive. You know, the same truth follows through. I don't care how many thousands of years old it is. You know, if it worked for him, why wouldn't it work for me? So, or you, or anybody. And she says, God has, my point was, like, they only read Ellen White, and so they don't get the whole picture, and they're going to be judged and according to what the Bible says. And they're not in good shape. Let's just put it that way. And there's quite a few people. I'm not just talking about anybody in particular. This has been going on for decades. I mean, even the first year that I came out of the Catholic Church, everybody I knew was attacking me. So I've been. And then when I was a little kid, I used to get beat up. So I'm constantly, you know, in remembrance of all the things that happens to people in regards to if someone doesn't like you or what you say. And so it's like, hey, it's life. What are you going to do? She says, God has, in that word, promised to give visions in the last days, not for a new rule of faith, like a new light. That's, of course, unbiblical. She says, but for the comfort of his people and to correct those who err from Bible truth. Thus, God dealt with Peter when he was about to send him to preach to the Gentiles. All right? Remember when he had the sheet that came down three times? All the false, and this is how easy it is to expose these so-called pastors or these so-called theologians that get up there and say, hey, look, you know, Peter had the sheet come down three times. He goes, oh, no, nothing unclean has ever entered my lips. And he's saying that years after the cross of Christ, right? He's still not eating pork or any kind of unclean foods that Leviticus 11 talks about, right? And so they say that this means you can now eat it. But if you just kept reading, guys, you'd see that Peter explains the vision. And explains the reason it came down three times and the Lord kept saying unclean is because what did the Jews used to call the unclean people? I mean, Jesus even called that one woman a dog, right? And she says, yeah, but doesn't the dog still go for the crumbs that fall from the master's table? And he understood that she had the understanding of what was going on that day. And so she was blessed, right? She had her miracle. But so that's why he had the unclean animals in that sheet. And it came down three times because there were three unclean men knocking on his door at the end of the vision, right? But, I mean, that's how easy it is to expose these false prophets and these false teachers of today. So, and I was going to, there was something else I was going to share, too. not for the rule of faith, but for the comfort of the people, and correct those who err from Bible truth. Oh, yeah. Like Job chapter 33. A lot of people think the only way you're going to get dreams, especially if they come true, means you're a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, right? Well, then explain Job 33, verses 15 down. Because the Lord's going to send you dreams sometimes for the benefit of yourself, you, your family, your coworkers, whatever, in your own particular life, I guess. But there are prophetic dreams, too, that go much further than that. But you'll understand that when you get those, if you get those. But a lot of people think that you can't get these dreams from God, but you do. Job 33 again is pretty clear. And then the next section here says not to take the place of the Word, all right? And this is, of course, the obvious what she's talking about here is she's concentrating on the Bible itself and not so much her writings. So the subheading is not to take the place of the Word. She says, the Lord desires you to study your Bibles. He has not given any additional light to take the place of His Word. This light is to bring confused minds to His Word. Right? That she's talking about her writings, obviously, when she says, this light is to bring confused minds to His Word, which, if eaten and digested, is as the lifeblood of the soul. Then good works will be seen as light shining in darkness. And now, is she inspired, or is she the way she explains the Bible verse is inspired? You can look at it either way you want, but the fact of the matter is, some people will put Ellen White on a little bit too high of a pedestal, and they start to worship her. And that's, of course, going to happen, you know, with some people that have a lack of understanding in that respect. But the nice thing here is she opens up and explains certain verses that are difficult to understand for those people that have a hard time understanding what's written in the New Testament or the Old Testament. But if you study the Word as many of us do and have been doing for years, you read the Old Testament and you see, okay, there's some real, you know, mountains to climb in there to try to figure out what's going on here or there. I mean, especially the prophetic books like Zechariah or Zephaniah or Ezekiel. Wow, I mean, please, could you explain this stuff to me a little better? And you'll get to it. It's John 14:29 type theology. A lot of the stuff you're not going to get until after the event occurs. We understand what Jesus said in John 14. So, but the thing that's nice about this is the way she explains. Because, I mean, that's why I look at the New Testament in the same way I look at Ellen White's writings in regards to the way she explains the Bible is the same way the New Testament explained the Old. You know, but the people had the intelligence, if you will, here's a good way. In the book of Genesis, Moses, rather, we have evidence of this, and I think Sister White talks on this, and there is scientific evidence to back this up to some extent, that for quite a while, many generations, in fact, there was no need for books. The truth that was shared from one mouth to the next was, today you would call it memorized. Back then it was just, oh, yeah, I heard this from so-and-so, and I'm telling you now. And so by word of mouth back then, it was locked down. It was, every detail was there. The minds were a lot clearer there. You know, then, of course, you had the double atmosphere and had the, you know, better food. And, I mean, everything was just running the way it should. And then as mankind got degraded and stuff like that, you needed a little bit more help. And so, of course, the Bible started being written down. Moses did the Torah, of course, and everything else went from there. And or the Torah. I mean, it depends on how you want to say it. But today, in the age of convenience, it's overwhelmingly obvious what's going on now. And this is what I like about YouTube or just doing videos that I put on John 14:29, for example. .org is back in the day, I would say even like say in the turn of the century, like 1900, books were very important. Books helped. Books were there to help people to understand things, and it was especially when Martin Luther put the Bible in his own tongue back in the 1700s, I think it was. It was an amazing feat because it allowed the people to have the truth opened up to them, and it was a blessing. Today, getting somebody to open up a book when they've got a cell phone in their hand and a tablet in their hip pocket or, you know, and there's computers all over the place and, you know, videos are a little bit easier. Or even like the talking books, like when, because I had one of those Bibles years ago that were all on cassette, the whole Bible on cassette. I still have it, as a matter of fact. And I remember the first time I got the Bible on cassette, I was Catholic. and it was in reverse. They messed up the cassettes, and it really sounded evil. I mean, I put the, you know, it was a Duane Reims on cassette, and it was all in reverse. I says, man, you guys messed this up. Got my money back. And I got, you know, King James, of course, after that. But you could just see the way it's more and more difficult for man to grasp things. And so now videos are helping a lot of people see the truth. And then once they start to realize the truth about what's being said in the Word of God, they have a tendency to go back to open up the Bible, and they seem to realize, well, wow, it's pretty easy to read, isn't it? And so, but I feel for some of the kids today, especially in the inner city, where the teachers will actually let the kids pass, even though they know the kids can't read, because they want that bonus from the government. I mean, that's just crazy. I mean, if you're not going to teach, you know, go work somewhere else. I mean, just please, you're ruining people's lives. And anyway, this next section is titled Get Proofs from the Bible. And it says, in public labor, do not make prominent, end quote, that which Sister White has written as authority to sustain your positions. In other words, when you're street preaching, and I've been saying this for years, and this is why we don't use Ellen White on Sabbath day during church services, because the people that come in don't know who she is. And don't know, in other words, if I was a Jew that just found Christ and became a Messianic Jew, let's say, and I wanted to go street preaching in Israel, I would not use the book of Daniel, okay? I would never use the book of Daniel until I got them to understand the truth as it is written in Isaiah regarding Jesus. And then I'd bring them to Daniel. Well, it's the same thing with Ellen White. The people of the world treat Ellen White... Well, actually, the Catholics did this, and then they pushed it off into some of the Protestant religions because Jesuits are running. I mean, we could see that case in point in the SDA Church, and that's why some of the SDA churches are burning Ellen White's writings. But this thing with using her on the street is not wise because, like I say, no one really knows who she is. And so, like she's saying here, just use the Bible. She says, to do this will not increase faith in the testimonies. Bring your evidences clear and plain from the Word of God. And that's the only way to do it. And then later on, you might be able to get them to, you know, understand who Ellen White was. As a matter of fact, that's how I came across her many years ago when we were doing the Fire Talk thing. And a woman in the faith knew I was preaching the same message, you know, that they understood. They were all SDAs, ex-SDAs that were coming into the Fire Talk room. And I didn't know who Ellen White was. You know, they were telling me, you got to read her writings, all this other stuff. And some lady actually sent me the Ellen White DVD. I never even installed her nothing for like years. And then finally one day I decided to install it, and I wanted to check her out. But I went to these pages on the Internet first, and I found out they kept saying she was a false prophet and a witch and a plagiarist and all this other stuff. And I thought, well, wow, they're really attacking this woman. There must be a reason for it because some of these people were Roman Catholics. And I know how you can't trust them. And so I started digging into it. And I, of course, you know, rest is history. I found out that she really was a prophet. But the way they brought the truth in regards to her to me was, I think, the best way to do it for anybody. Bring the scriptures to them. Let them realize that this is in the Word. And then once they get a firm foundation in the scriptures, if you want to share with them Ellen White, fine, go for it. But odds are the Lord's going to bring them there anyway. So anyway, going on, she says, thus saith the Lord is the strongest testimony you could possibly present to the people. Let none be educated to look to Sister White, but to the mighty God who gives instruction to Sister White. And there you have it. That's kind of like I was saying a minute ago. You know, it's not so much that she is writing a Bible, because she's not. She is just confirming that which is written and making it easier to understand because she's using some Old Testament references to define some of the New Testament references. Or just using common, everyday, run-of-the-mill situations to make us understand the parables, in fact. Because Jesus did that. How many times did Jesus preach about fishermen and stuff? Because a lot of people were fishermen. And so you just, you know, you make it to where the people can understand it. And that's what she was doing, and she has done. And that's why also I believe why a lot of people would hand out Ellen White's books, but they would rip the covers off so no one would know who wrote it. Because it had happened to me. Someone handed me a book when I was in a restaurant once in Oak Lawn, Illinois. They came up to me and they handed me this book and the covers were missing. So I started reading it, and this is, I don't know, I was like 25, or I wasn't even a Christian yet. And I started reading it and says, oh, what's with the $20 words? You trying to impress me? So I got rid of the book. You know, and then later on I found out that she only had a third grade education, and I realized the $20 words were there because God was blessing her with an understanding of the English language and whatnot. And so, but then, of course, all the other things like the eschatological things that I was checking into at the time, in and out of the libraries all the time, because there wasn't no internet back then. So I had to do a lot of driving to get a lot of the information I was getting before I actually came out. So, next section is Bible principles first, then the testimonies. And she says, it is my first duty to present Bible principles. Then, unless there is a decided conscientious reform made by those whose cases have been presented before me, I must appeal to them personally. All right? And, man, this section here, book 3, page 29, 30, and however far this goes, there are people out here that have left this church because all they do is read Ellen White. They need to read this stuff, or at least listen to the recording for tonight, because they can certainly benefit by this. So anyway, she goes on in the next one here. The next subheading is E.G. White, work not unlike that of Bible prophets. And she says, in ancient times, God spoke to men by the mouth of prophets and apostles. In these days, he speaks to them by the testimonies of his Spirit. There was never a time when God instructed his people more earnestly than he instructs them now concerning his will and the course that he would have them pursue. So amen to that. I mean, it's the last days. What do you expect? So amen. And the next one says, the subheading is Scripture and Spirit of Prophecy have same author. And she says, the Holy Ghost is the author of the Scriptures and of the Spirit of Prophecy. They are not to be twisted and turned to mean what man may want them to mean, to carry out man's ideas and sentiments, to carry forward man's schemes at all hazards. And this is what I'd like to, as a matter of fact, I'm going to email this one to myself. Hold on. Copy. Open up my email thing there. I won't email it now. I'll just get it ready. Because this is SDA Echoes, I'm just going to call it. SDA Echoes. Because I just got another email the other day from somebody claiming that Ellen White said, never call the Seventh-day Adventist Church Babylon. They're doing what she's saying right here not to do. They are taking her out of context to carry out their own ideas, their own sentiments, to carry forward man's schemes and all hazards, right? Because they're twisting what she's saying. They were attacking the SDA Church in her day when it wasn't Babylon. And she said that, you know, don't ever call the SDA Church Babylon. Well, she didn't say it that way. She says at that particular time in history, it wasn't, because it was the Ninth Hour Movement. But if you go to the like SDAapostasy.org, there's a page on that site where I have, it's called E.G. White Quotes on Babylon or something like that. And she says an awful lot about the SDA Church headed in that direction. And so those quotes you'll never hear from the SDA pulpits, and those quotes you'll never hear from those people that take her out of context and say that she said never to call it the church, to call it Babylon. This quote will help them, hopefully. You know, I would say a 50-50 shot. You know, because like half of them are really just, they're stuck in their ways and they don't care. Self-deception is a very, very difficult wall to tear down, you know. So, anyway, this next section is titled, Ellen White calls her writings a lesser light. And she says, little heed is given to the Bible, and the Lord has given a lesser light to lead men and women to the greater light. So, amen to that. And then she says, the next one, tested by the Bible, it says, the Spirit was not given, nor can it ever be bestowed to supersede the Bible. For the Scriptures explicitly state that the Word of God is the standard by which all teaching and experience must be tested. That right there helps a lot of people when they misunderstand something that they think Ellen White said, or Spurgeon said, or Easton, or Matthew Henry, or even Billy Graham, for example. If it doesn't match up with Scripture, they are lying, or you're taking Ellen White out of context. I didn't want to put her in that bunch, but what I mean is, in their cases, like Billy Graham and those types, they're just bold-faced liars. Whereas with Ellen White, if someone says that she said something like this in regards to the Bible, and the Bible says the exact opposite, well, then you must have taken her out of context, or go back and read what she actually said and put it back in context. And don't use a compilation, because you're going to have to deal with a bunch of dot, dot, dots like you got right here. Right before it says, Isaiah declares, you see all those dots? That means they didn't let her finish her thought here. And so a lot of people like to take advantage of those dot, dot, dots so as to, you know, have the means by which they think they can, you know, confirm their heresy with inspired writings, when in fact they're not really doing anything. And I'm not sure about him being. I know he was Baptist, but he actually. And he used to be one of my favorite preachers. I think I might still have. If I look around here, I got to get these. Got to get different glasses on here. It was a red book someone gave me. Oh, I think it was Catholic when someone gave it. It was like 30, 40 years ago. Hold on. I'm looking at my little library here. I don't read a lot of books. See, it's all scripture or old Bible books or computer books. I've read more of that. But no, I guess I got rid of the book. Yeah, I don't see it in there anymore. But I used to love it because the book was filled with his quips, like quick little quotes that he said, and some of them were pretty powerful. But what turned me off one time is when I was reading it, and he literally said, "I am not a Sabbath preacher." Literally, almost word for word, I think he said it like that. "I am not one that will preach the Sabbath," or something like that. And Spurgeon was around at the time Ellen White was. And so you know who he was he was talking about, right? He was slamming her. Because her message was out there already about the seventh-day Sabbath, and he was, you know, pulling people away and keeping them in the Baptist church. You know, he was very, influential preacher. Yeah. They were both early 1900s. And so, and she was coming towards the end of her life. She died in 1915, so. But yeah, it looked like he was just there, like the devil sent him. But still, the Lord could have winked at his ignorance, too, because he had a lot of wisdom. That guy really had a lot of wisdom. But then, again, you know, so do Jesuits. And they like to, I mean, they'll have 99% truth, and they'll I don't know how they can't see their fault at all. I mean, if you have that much intelligence to be able to define what those really difficult, meaty scriptures mean sometimes, and then purposely twist it, or purposely twist the weaker ones to make the bigger ones look even better for you. The only thing I can think of is they're Luciferian. They're devil worshippers. Yeah, I wonder, Leonor. I wonder very much that he was a Jesuit, Ron Wyatt, because of the things that he... Oh, I mean, some of the stuff he came up with, it's very Catholic in its dogma. And but I got a page on the website all about him, and Brother Craig did an amazing video on him, too. And he just updated it, too. The video's got some additional information in there now. And so we updated the links for that on the Ron White page. So, anyway, she goes on. She says, "Isaiah declares that the law and the testimony, they speak not according to this word. It's because there is no light." And that's something we've all, how many times have we used that one over the years? Just for self. I mean, when you're reading something that you think is coming from an inspired preacher, you know it's not in the Bible. What pops in your mind? It's either the Berean thing from Acts 17 or it's Isaiah 20, one or the other. Okay, the next one is not for the purpose of giving new light. Amen. Now, here's a bombshell for some. But she says, Brother J. Brother J would confuse the mind by seeking to make it appear that the light of God is given through the testimonies is an addition to the Word of God. But in this, he presents the matter in a false light. God has seen fit in this manner to bring the minds of his people to his Word, to give them a clear understanding of it. And that's kind of the way, I think, the best way to define Sister White's writings. Because it's a lesser light that points to the greater light. She not only glorifies Christ, she glorifies his Word and makes it so much easier to understand. And she doesn't step out of any theology to come up with new light anywhere. The only time she steps outside of the Bible in a way that's inspired is when she makes those prophetic statements. Like, for example, on my Ellen White page, let me just go there real quick. I'll just run down the list real quick. I'm not going to dwell on any one of these. I just go to the prophecy section. You scroll down to Ellen White with the... Oh, let me got to get the seventh blessing thing off because I can't do the menu then. All right, so I go down to Ellen White. Was she a prophet? And you'll go to that one. And look at this. I got 30, and it keeps growing. When I first put this page up, I think I had like 25. And, you know, because just over the years, I kept finding things that she said that are not in the Bible, but did in fact happen in history. For example, dairy products are going to become unsafe. That's happening right now. Preachers to claim a lack of Sunday keeping is the reason for the disasters. When that tsunami, what they call the Christmas tsunami, hit, I put this on the radio, and I put this on the newsletter, and it's on the Sabbath Attack page, of course. That Presbyterian minister said the reason that tsunami came is because people weren't keeping Sunday holy. They already tested the waters on that one. And what he didn't mention is the Sunday keepers that were inside the church that behind him, they died too in that tsunami. So he just told a bold-faced lie, and he had the evidence standing right behind him. And then the next one is two wars are going to be separated by a gap of peace. Right? She was no politician. The Lord gave her that because she was, you know, dead before those wars even began. Balls of fire to fall upon homes. She actually describes types of weapons they used. Then she says scientists will lie about the calamities. Okay, I've got dozens of documented statements in regards to showing that, yeah, the scientists do lie, but hey, well, let's just all talk about Al Gore. Okay, that one guy should do it because he's got tons of scientists lying for him. All right, saying it was global warming when in fact it was the opposite. I mean, they had a 50-50 chance. You'd think they wouldn't have messed that one up. Sunday laws will be enforced. Okay, you don't find that in the Bible unless you really do an in-depth, deep study. You can't really find it without some prophetic glasses on your head. And church and state combined, we saw that with the 501c3, and that came into Lyndon Johnson's vulgar mind. That man was extremely vulgar. That came into his mind in 1954, the 501c3, the idea for it. Although, I just found this out recently, too, while Ellen White was alive and while she was in Australia, they actually drafted a 501c3 type of structure in the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Battle Creek, Michigan, while the woman was alive. So the SDA Church actually did it first. Boy, that's scary. All right, and then the Vatican will claim Sunday Sabbath as their mark. I got two quotes where they actually use that terminology, the word mark. The open space in Orion, scientists just discovered that, 50 years ago, that the open space in Orion, talking about the open space, she saw it in vision. Rome will undo Protestantism. Hello. That happened before any of us were born. All right. Slavery in the end days, yeah, it's gone off the charts. And it's not just sexual slavery either. All right. There's actually more slaves today than there ever was. Pope will apologize and be accepted worldwide. Now, how did she do that? I mean, look at it. She's talking about the mea culpa of, when was it? March 25th, 2000. Right? The mea culpa of John Paul II. She prophesied that, decades before, and of course, decades after she died, it happened. All right, let's see. She says, Protestant churches will join with Rome. Okay, well, Protestants will help spread Vatican dogma. Well, that's a no-brainer. The USA will do away with the Constitution. I am constantly updating that section. As a matter of fact, I just updated it 2 weeks ago on the 12th. Okay, blacks and whites will eventually come together. I can't wait for that to come because I'm sick of these black mobs doing these, you know, all these knockout games and stuff like that. Can't wait for that because we got a lot of black brothers and sisters and white brothers and sisters, you know. Old controversies will be revived, and that is, and what I'm thinking about there, the old controversies will be revived. There were a bunch of pioneers in the old days, and they later recanted it. They're the ones that are talking about Jesus not being God, the Holy Spirit doesn't exist kind of a thing, or the lunar Sabbath and stuff like that. She says, these things are going to come back. And they did. They're here now. And preachers of today will repeat doctrinal lies of the Pharisees from 2,000 years ago. For example, one good one would be the 1,000 years of peace on earth. Because the Pharisees taught when the Messiah came, he would end Roman rule, right? And there would be peace on earth. Well, aren't they saying the same thing today? They're saying when Jesus gets here, there's going to be peace on earth for 1,000 years. Well, there is, but it's just going to be because there's nothing but dead bodies. But so the only reason I think that that's happening is because the devil saw how easy it worked 2,000 years ago, so he's just trying it again, and it's actually working. All right, the next one is the church will seek help from the state. Yeah, when they're all getting, like the Seventh-day Adventist Church now is can only afford to pay the interest. They've gotten so, the loans they got from the government is just crazy. Satan will poison the atmosphere. Okay? How did she see that? Before they even came to flight. Before the Wright brothers were born, this woman saw airplanes spewing out chemtrails. I'm not saying she saw the actual airplanes or the chemtrails. She's just saying that Satan's going to poison the atmosphere. And he certainly did. All right, let's see. Satan will perform miracles in the sight of men. That's been going on for decades. Unions will form, causing problems for the poor as well as the Christians. Yep. That's all over the place. And then, of course, the getting out of the city thing. The churches will join with the state. That's the 501c3. She goes into a little bit more detail there. Sabbath keepers will be blamed for the calamities. That's coming. Well, actually, if you look at the Christmas tsunami, it kind of looks like it's already started, but they didn't actually specifically say it. But you know, they're saying Sunday, if you didn't keep Sunday, that's why the calamity came. So in other words, if you are keeping Sabbath, you're the reason the calamity came. But that's just an offhand kind of way of saying it. Disasters by the sea to increase in infrequency. Yep, that's happening. Cancer is a germ. Scientists found that out, but you're only going to hear about it in natural methods type of healthcare places. She predicted today's world perfectly. Demonic manifestations would be embraced as religious, and a Satan will appear as an angel of light. And I just put a video on the site the other day about Promise Keepers in Iowa, where they're actually acting like there's an angel of light out in front of everybody. And I know it's just light refraction, but they're going to run with that because a couple of days later, what came out? They got this one so-called guy that studies angels in the Vatican saying that angels don't have wings. They're more like they're just beings of light. And yeah, he's going to see it that way because he's a Roman Catholic theologian, and the only ones that he listens to are fallen angels, and fallen angels are angels of light, just like the Bible said. Satan's going to be, you know, an angel of light. And so it's no mistake they're starting to bring that up now, right after the Promise Keepers does what they do, and then, you know, it's just going to get worse. But praise the Lord. We're alive to see it. You know, we'll hopefully make it home. And so anyway, that's that, though, with the Ellen White thing. So let's continue. She says, the word of God is sufficient to enlighten the most beclouded mind and may be understood by those who have any desire to understand it. But notwithstanding all this, some who profess to make the Word of God their study are found living in direct opposition to its plainest teachings. Then, to leave men and women without excuse, God gives plain and pointed testimonies, bringing them back to the Word that they have neglected to follow. And a lot of times, that comes in the way of trials. Because I remember when I first started reading the Bible, I would read it, and there were certain things I understood were wrong to do, and I was doing them anyway, and sure enough, I got these major trials that fell upon me that were an end result of my stupidity or my sin, let's just say. Because sin has a consequence. And so, okay, Father, I get it, and I shouldn't be doing that, okay, and then I give it up, right? And I'm waiting for the day for, you know, Gabriel or somebody to come along. well, hopefully Gabriel, just like with Daniel. But to let me know that, or let us know, any of us here in the church, let us know that the Lord has heard your prayer, that you have desire to, you know, walk perfectly before him. And so now he blesses you with a vision or whatever. But I don't think that's even needed at this point anymore because of what's already been put down on paper. I mean, Sister White has more or less had enough visions to let us know what's going to happen. And, yeah, you're still going to have your regular genes that'll help you out in your own personal situations, like, you know, Job chapter 33 talks about. And but still, I would so much love to be in the presence of the Father in something like that. I know, of course, you can't see him. You'll die if you even try. But anyway, she says, the Word of God abounds in general principles for the formation of correct habits of living, and the testimonies, general and personal, have been calculated to call their attention more especially to these principles. All right, and then the next one is testimonies to bring plain lessons from the Word. And she says, in the Scriptures, God has set forth practical lessons to govern the life and conduct of all. But though he has given minute particulars in regard to our character, conversation, and conduct, yet, in a large measure, his lessons are disregarded and ignored. Besides the instruction in his word, the Lord has given special testimonies to his people, not as a new revelation, but that he may set before us the plain lessons of his word, that errors may be corrected, that the right may be pointed out, that every soul may be without excuse. And I don't know why I keep thinking of that one guy, that so-called angel theologian, who kept saying that angels don't have wings. He obviously never opened up a Bible to study it with truth. Now, I know he's probably opened up a Bible so as to better manipulate what's being written so as to keep the people in the pews in the Catholic Church. But when it comes to angels not having wings, does he realize what a cherubim is or a seraphim? And how they're so many times mentioned in the Scriptures as having wings? I mean, that's why I put all those verses on the bottom of that comment on my site today in the, I don't know, it was the headline or the video section. I don't remember if it was a video or not. I don't think it was a video. But Yeah, it's just, I almost laughed out loud when I saw that article. I said, you got to be kidding me. Have you not read the, well, that's right, it's the Vatican. I mean, the Pope says stuff that makes you realize the man's never read the Bible. I mean, at all, maybe. So, I don't know. It's just, it's really confusing for me to see that a man who supposedly leads all the Catholics, and they claim to be Christians, but yet he can't even understand Milky Scripture. It just really boggles the mind. But then, when I look at the power behind the man, which is obviously demonically inspired power and gifted power from Satan himself, it's very obvious what's going on there. But hey, we got some new people. I want to welcome Drew, but we need actual first names. We don't do handles in here. So when you get a chance, could you re-register? Or if you want, you could just send me an email and I'll change your name from Drew, Drew 777 to a regular name. And I'll change it for you. That way you ain't got to go through the re-registering, all that stuff there. But yeah, thanks, Craig. The Vatican actually says in their question box, page 67, that the Bible is a dead and speechless book. I mean, there's a ton of quotes in my Words of the Beast page in regards to their open hatred for the scriptures. I mean, if you didn't give up your Bible in those days, because they were burning the Bibles, if you didn't give up your Bible, you burned in its place. That's how much they hate that book. And then they say, in the Faith of Millions on page 155, it says, the simple fact is that the Bible, like all dead letters, calls for a living interpreter. Really? I agree. Why? Because Christ is still alive. They're saying a living interpreter means the priest is going to translate the Bible. No, no, no. The living interpreter is Jesus Christ, and his Holy Spirit actually gives us an utterance and an understanding of that which is written. Not these men that molest children. It's just not true. And yes, I can say that these men molest children because they've been doing it since 60 A.D. And I couldn't believe it. The Pope, again, every Pope that gets elected does the exact same thing since as far as back as I can remember. I remember Pope Paul, right before I got married. He said something in the effect of the molestation thing. And then John Paul II, of course, had to say something because he was so graphically entwined in all that. And then Ratzinger said what he said, and then, of course, he gets pulled out of the Vatican because he was actually served papers and he was looking to go into court or whatever. And then this guy's now saying it. And how do you explain this to people that don't study history? I mean, he says, why don't you just go to the Vatican's website and look up the Didache documents? It's documents that they had on hand in their archives, and why they put this online is beyond me, but it really helps us expose them. Because as far back as 60 A.D., when such a thing as Roman Catholic-type priests were coming around, even before the church was formed and called Roman Catholicism, it's documented that these guys were having a problem with molesting children. And so all I can think is, okay, every generation, they get caught. Every generation says, we're going to do something about this. Yeah, we're gonna make it right. We're going to make it right. Just saying that makes them think, okay, that'll shut them up. And it just gets worse. And so the people that brought it out to the forefront and exposed them have a tendency to either die off or paid off, And then it seems to calm down, and there it comes up again. So they got, the next pope comes up and says, yeah, we're going to do something about it. For sure. Right. Okay. I believe he is. And it makes about as much sense it's just ridiculous. Easy to prove lie nowadays. So anyway, this next section says, Ellen White enabled to clearly define truth and error. And she says at that time, after the 1844 disappointment, of course, she says, one error after another pressed in upon us. Ministers and doctors brought in new doctrines, and we would search the scriptures with much prayer, and the Holy Spirit would bring the truth to our minds. Sometimes whole nights would be devoted to searching the scriptures and earnestly asking God for guidance. Now, I just wish some of these people that attacked the church in the last, say, 20 years alone would have at least studied up their so-called new light before bringing it forward. Because I don't want to see anybody embarrassed, even people that attack me. I says, especially if they're intelligent. I'm thinking, wow, I mean, you could have been used by God in such an amazing way, but now it's kind of hard to preach with that big foot in your mouth. I mean, it's just really difficult for anybody to believe anything a person like that would say after they went forward and they attacked the truth and then they go, ruh-roh, boy, oh boy, did I mess up, kind of a thing, So, anyway, going on, it says, companies of devoted men and women assembled for this purpose. The power of God would come upon me, and I was unable to clearly define what is truth and what is error. And this, again, it'd be so nice to have her alive at this time, or to have any kind of a prophet alive at this time, but still, we do have her writings. And what I've noticed, though, have you noticed this too? Like every now and then you come across a scripture and you want to see what she has to say about it, because she's always going to point you back to the proper verses in, you know, the Old Testament or the New Testament to give you a better, oh, well, yeah, that's what it says, right? Sometimes she doesn't even touch on the ones you're looking at. And I found some sneaky little way to figure out how to get around that, if you want to use her writings, I'm saying. If you got her DVD, just put in the verse, you know, like partially put it in there, and, you know, in regards to, like, type it in into the query, because you're not going to find it in the list where it says, okay, she quotes on this specific verse. It's just not there, let's say. So just go into the general search and type in part of the actual Bible verse, and about 50% of the time, you'll see she does comment on it. Now, here's the sad thing. The Ellen White Estate is starting to use NIV and other bogus Bibles in her translations. And so even if you do sometimes put the verse in there, you might not find it because they're corrupting her writings. So not easy to get around that. So, and that's why I kept telling, what's-his-face, before he had his stroke, I says, could you please? There were some guys in California that were supposed to help. Echoes from the Past? What's his name? Vern Bates. And they were supposed to help him put the entire, all of Ellen White's writings, all of her original writings on a DVD. But they kept dragging her feet. And I contacted him, and he told me, he says, yeah. So a year later, I kind of said, so any news? And he says, no, they ain't saying nothing. He says, could you give me their phone number? And he did. And so I called these guys up, and I says, you know, come on, guys. I mean, Vern's not getting any younger. You know, could you please put this in the DVD? We need this. Because they're really messing up her writings. And they kept dragging, and they didn't do it. And now the man has a stroke. And so I don't know where Vern Bates is at this point, if he's able to. Because the guy had a mind like a steel trap. You could call him up, and he'd go on for hours just quoting Ellen White without even ever looking at the book. He's the one that's got that vault in his house with her writings in it. If we could just get those and put them on DVD, that would be amazing, you know. And with the technology that we have today where you can read it, let the computer read the page one page at a time. It'll type it for you. And, yeah, it'll sometimes mess up here and mess up there. So you just get proofreaders. Now, a proofreader, you know, you got time for 475 books? But still, get a bunch of proofreaders. You get that out in a month. Guaranteed. That could be a real... Now, here's the thing. We could do this. I have all her original writings. Somebody donated them to the ministry many years ago. And they were books that I bought, or they got and bought from Vern Bates. The problem is, he didn't spend a lot of money on binding these books. So, like, for example, when I started reading The Great Controversy, within a week, I had to get duct tape to hold the book together, because it just started falling apart. So, but that's good if you're going to use a scanner, because what you can do is just take the whole book apart, put a sheet, you know, piece down, and if we can get a bunch of workers, say, in the Philippines, if they were down, they had some downtime, if we could just put all of her original writings and scan them and put them in a computer, and then we could put them on DVD, it can go global. All right? So, anyway, going on. 15 minutes left. I don't know how far we got left in this, but she says, as the points of our faith were thus established, our feet were placed upon a solid foundation. We accepted the truth point by point. Under the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, I would be taken off in vision and explanations would be given to me. I was given illustrations of heavenly things and of the sanctuary so that we were placed where light was shining on us, clear, distinct rays. And the thing I like about this sometimes, too, is... I don't see this happening a lot today, but I do see some of us getting, and I've had them too, dreams where in the dream you'll get a bunch of symbols and you go into the scriptures and you'll find, wow, I never knew that it meant that. But then you go into the Bible and you find out, yeah, that's what the Bible says. Because if you are having prophetic dreams, you better match those prophetic symbols up with that which is written. You know, because that's the reason I did that Revelation Bible study years ago, and it took like, I think, 2.5 or 3.5 years, I forget. It's 327 pages on the site. Every symbol in Revelation is now defined using the scriptures from all other 65 books of the Bible, or even 66, because Revelation does define some of its symbols. I can look at Revelation 19. So we can use that study, because the work's already been done, to help to better, you know, to help better define, like somebody's having prophetic dreams, for example. You think it means this? Well, look what the Bible says. You know, this is what these symbols mean. So, I don't know who Charles Taze Russell is, and just to forewarn you, please don't put any links in the room. somebody talking about... Okay, are you anti-Ellen White? Is this guy anti-Ellen White? Well, she didn't put a Roman Catholic symbol on her grave. The woman was dead. How could she possibly do it? Well, we're not SDA here. SDA is a fallen church. It's the sister of fallen Babylon. Prophecy stated it. Revelation 12:17 confirmed it. Jesus said in Matthew 20, verses 1 to 7, the SDA church wasn't going to finish the work. So. Yeah, I know you didn't say, but just bringing it up in here, because we know a lot of people that attack the church. And I'm not saying you're doing this, but some people do have a tendency to, you know, try to come in and they'll make statements like that to make people think, says, well, wow, is she supposed to be a prophet? Why does she got that thing on her grave? And says, well, common sense, people. She couldn't have put it there. She was dead. So, what are you going to do? You know, some people just don't want to hear it. So, anyway, but yeah, Charles Russell, I don't know. But, yeah, you might want to consider, check out SDAapostasy.org. You're in a very dangerous church. If you're SDA, you are in extreme danger, just as the prophecy stated. And I know the SDA church says that you got to stay with the church, and, you know, she said don't call it Babylon, but they take her out of context. She said don't call it Babylon in her day. We have prophecy in Scripture, we have confirmed prophecy in Scripture, and we have scores of statements from Ellen White herself that you'll never hear in an SDA church that says the SDA church will become Babylon if they continue on in the path they are, and they did. So continuing, this next section is titled To Correct Error and Specify Truth. It says, I have much written in the diary. And I'm not going to read what the compilers say here. I'm just going to jump right there to the next point. And she says, I have kept in all my journeys that should come before the people if essential, even if I did not write another line. I want that which is deemed worthy to appear. For the Lord has given me much light that I want the people to have. For there is instruction that the Lord has given me for his people. It is light that they should have, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. This is now to come before the people, because it has been given to correct specious errors and to specify what is truth. Right. The Lord has revealed many things, pointing out the truth, thus saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And this next one here is, says, testimonies never contradict the Bible. And this, of course, would be something that those people that attack the truth that we preach over the last year need to understand. New light never contradicts old light. And the testimony certainly won't contradict Scripture. But she says, the Bible must be your counselor. Study it, and the testimonies God has given, for they never contradict his word. If the testimonies speak not according to the word of God, reject them. Christ and Belial cannot be united. And then she's, let me just see if this is the last one here. Let me just go up a page. Yeah, okay, this is the last page. And then she says, I'm quoting Sister White, and this is mostly from the compilers, and so I'm going to ignore all the blue stuff and just go right to the black stuff. And she says, I'm quoting with Sister White. She says, How can the Lord bless those who manifest a spirit of I don't care, a spirit which leads them to walk contrary to the light which the Lord has given them? But I do not ask you to take my words. Lay Sister White to one side. Do not quote my words again as long as you live until you can obey the Bible. That's a good solid statement to use with those people that are attacking. And this is something that I tried before over the years. I've had people, you know, well, Sister White says this, and Sister White says that, and Sister White says this. I says, look, do you believe the Bible is the inspired book of God? And they'll say yes. I says, let's, and it's almost like word for word, I say to them, let's lay Sister White on the side, and let's see what the Bible says about what you're saying. Because if the Bible is saying you're wrong, then you're obviously taking Ellen White out of context. And this is what happens when you deal with people that only read Ellen White. They're only going to get 40 to 50% of the truth. And so they're going to take her out of context, especially if they're reading the compilations with all those dot, dot, dots in them, you know. And so I always tell them, put the Ellen White books on the side and let's open the Bible. And sadly, 7 to 8 times out of 10, you'll never hear from them again. They don't want to even deal with the Bible. because it's too difficult for them to understand. Why? Because the truth is not in them. They don't want truth. They want to be able to manipulate Ellen White because it's so much easier to do that. I mean, it is really easy to mess with her writings. Okay, then finishing it up, she says, when you make the Bible your food, your meat, and your drink, when you make its principles the elements of your character, you will know better how to receive counsel from God. I exalt the precious word before you today. Do not repeat what I have said, saying, Sister White said this and Sister White said that. Find out what the Lord God of Israel says, and then do what he commands. So amen and amen and amen.